Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Maisie Adam came in. Big Leeds fan. And she is also involved in Soccer A once again. She was on good form, the comedian, wasn't she?
Ali Ross talked about Scotland. And
yeah, in a bad run at the moment. He's off to Germany. Well, at least he was thinking of going. Maybe not now. And Peter Crouch joined us, which was interesting. He looked back on his career and gave us his thoughts on England heading into the Euro. So we had a chat. Here it all is. Good afternoon, Andy.
Afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. I did consider doing the entire show in Welsh today after watching S4C.
Yeah, you say you've picked up some.
Oh, I can tell you Ben Davis was Kem Sebek. Very unlucky. Offside.
Ah, okay.
That's it.
That's all you got, is it?
Yeah. So I tried translating.
You could go and play a bit of Sunday football at the back in Wales and just thrust your arm in the air, Tony Adams, like, and say, Kem Sebek.
Sebek.
Oh, Kem Sebek, I say. I obviously need some work. Is it Tom's brother?
Honestly, yeah. I needed Ian Gwynne Hughes with me, really.
Well, I'll tell you what a night for S4C, because I'm sure most people, if you were watching England, I mean, I did that thing where I kept flicking back. I was predominantly watching England.
Yeah.
But I was going back to Wales all the time.
The atmosphere at Wales, Cardiff was better than Wembley.
Yeah, it was.
What is Welsh for great atmosphere? It was fantastic.
Okay, brilliant. We'll find out later on, because we're going to chat. I mean, what a night for S4C, because, we went extra time and pens. I'm sure all of us said, well, I've got to watch this. And we went fully into it at that point.
I watched a lot of it. Then I watched the first half of Extra Time. Then I popped in to have a chat with Sue. I completely forgot it was on. Okay. I thought, I haven't watched the penalties.
Why so committed to the world of football? Then you found out you forgot the game was on.
I forgot.
How can you watch one half of a game and forget they're going to... I mean, they only turn round. It takes 30 seconds.
I don't know. They just literally turned round. She said, have a look at this, and I got involved with it.
You're easily distracted, aren't you? Sort of fly or something.
Very easily distracted.
I mean, Tudor Jones, a former Wales player, was on COCOMs last night with Nick Parry. So what a massive audience they would have got. So we're going to have a chat with Owen very shortly, reflect on the game, all the fallout from it. And I mean, was he sitting there knowing that the eyes of the world, the eyes of the nation were on him? Because the option was Viaplay, unless you've played... for the subscription, you would have definitely turned over to S4C to watch it.
I know, it was free, exactly.
It was a bit of a... It was a great shame. I mean, neither side created that many chances. Poland came on strong, didn't they? I mean, the Ben Davis goal that was ruled out for offside, marginal, unlucky. That was a great shame. But, yes, a couple of things to emerge from it, though. Dan James, he's going to be feeling a bit low today. I understand him. He's going to play on his mind. It wasn't his greatest penalty, he'd admit that, but... Somebody has to miss in these shootouts.
Yeah.
But, you know, you probably play Saturday afternoon, Sunday mornings, Talk Sport listener. I just wondered, have you had your own Dan James moment? And what was it like? I mean, because everybody says, oh, we'll rally round DJ and, you know, we win as a team and lose as a team.
Yeah,
but
I'm wondering
in the sort of, out in the boondocks, in the old Sunday morning, Saturday afternoon, whether people never speak to you again.
No.
You become ostracised, dropped from the team.
And then I had to leave the club.
Yeah, people are really horrible to you. So, yeah, we would love to know your Dan James stories this afternoon, whether you were that man or there was somebody in the team that found themselves in the Dan James envelope. Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. Tweet to TSH&J, because I'm sure a few cup finals down on a Sunday morning have gone to penalty shootouts. The other thing is, Conor Roberts' moustache, I would imagine, would be shaved off this morning.
Very much so.
He kept it on a very good run at club level, and they're all Wales in a playoff. and he's decided to keep it. But I wonder, is today the day he dumps? It's quite a fetching moustache. It looks quite...
You mean the moustache?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Sorry. No, that's right. Yeah, I meant the moustache. Of course I did. But did he shave it off last night? Yeah. Will he shave it off this morning? Will, because it's going pretty well at club. Well, I don't know what
this is the hard-hitting agenda this show has.
Well, that's right. Well, I'm just asking the question because I want to know from the listeners. I'm going to ask the listeners, what was the catalyst and how did they dump the lucky charm, whether it was the lucky socks, the lucky pants that you had, that you talked yourself into and then decided that was the moment to do away with that particular superstition. So let us know this afternoon. Talksport.com/HNJ, text to 81089 or tweet to TSHNJ.
Kits are in the news in a big way, aren't they?
They are.
There's a big controversy about the England kit. We both like the away kit, the second kit, much nicer. The Belgian kit, though, I noticed, it had to be designed by somebody who loved the old Coventry kits.
Because it was brown shorts.
Well, it was brown shorts and exactly the Coventry sky blue. It was exactly the same.
It's a nod to Tintin, apparently.
Tintin?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's also true, yeah.
That's right. So that's his
home kit. Tintin.
That's right. That's Tintin's home kit. Yeah. It looks a bit like a young Perry Groves, Tintin. Yeah,
very much so.
It's him running down the wing for Arsenal. So, the other thing is, of course, the cockerel is rather large on the French kit, which gave
a brilliant
which gave the Sun basically a chance to
have
a
you
lot,
got them all.
Lot of, no, I'm not doing them all. No, you can't say them at this time.
No, but you don't even say that. It's the things France football fans in France were left clucking. Brilliant. Foul top, people said.
Exactly. It went into overdrive, especially near Easter.
Some of the quotes, it made
and
me
a lot
laugh.
Of willy gags, basically.
Yeah. It made me laugh that French players who are already too arrogant conceded a goal in the first minute, said some bloke on Twitter. Well, you know.
See, I've told you, Sunday mornings, it's not like we're going to put our arm around DJs. We win and lose as a team. Tony says, I played with a guy who missed a penalty in a Sunday league shootout and was nicknamed Costas for years.
Shame.
Because he cost us, in case you haven't got that, of course. So, it's not all arm around the shoulder and we win and lose as a team. Talksport.com/HNJ, text to 81089 or tweet to TSHNJ this afternoon. We are going to be talking England later on. We'll look at all the things we learnt from the match. Peter Crouch is going to join us. We'll get his take on those couple of performances as well. One of the couple of frustrations... It's weird that Jarrod Branthwaite didn't get a look in.
Strange. Why call him up if you're not going to look at him
just
in the game?
You know, I mean, this is a left-sided, two-footed, quick centre-half with great recovery pace, and you think, I think we could do with that at the moment.
Disrespect to Lewis Dunk, but I think Southgate knows everything he needs to know about him.
Yeah, it's odd. You know, we were talking about this with our producer. He's kind of... talked himself off the plane with those before. I bet he wishes he hadn't played because he probably would have been on the plane. I don't know. Look, he trusts him and he's very trusting of players.
Very loyal.
He is very loyal, so maybe he'll keep his place. And he has been brilliant for Brighton and normally reads the game fantastically well. Just a couple of important ricks, really.
I thought England
games.
Played some lovely football.
They did, going
especially
forward,
in the first half.
And
I thought Ivan Toney fitted in really well.
So, yeah, we'll ask Peter about that. I saw Oliver Brand the Telegraph today saying, well, why not take them both, you know, because what they offer you very different things. But it does seem like he's only likely to take one extra striker.
Yeah, I mean, if Kane's fit, he's going to play every game. So you're talking about someone who might come on in a situation where we need a goal. But he's not going to take Kane off. It's somebody that had to play with him.
I suppose the difference is that Watkins is someone who can play with Kane. Ivan Toney and Kane, maybe not so much.
But then, Ivan Toney's penalties have to be a factor. Not that Watkins takes a penalty as well, but I think his pens are so,
I just wonder that thing of not actually looking at the ball at all. I mean, one day he's going to completely miss the ball, isn't he?
He scored 29 out of 31 in his career?
Yeah.
Tremendous, and that was a big pressure penalty last night.
A little bit of breaking news that Andy, this will is on Chelsea related. Romeo Lavia will miss the rest of the season after a setback in his recovery from that thigh injury.
So, that's £60 million for 4 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to the lad, it's not his fault, is it? He doesn't want to be injured.
But, why didn't they do due diligence? This is a player with quite a big injury record. I think it was quite a strange buy, and now. They basically bought him so that they could sell Gallagher. Now they're going to sell Gallagher and they haven't got him.
Well, he'll be back next season.
Well, will he? I don't know. He looks to me... Yeah, well, we'll see.
He'll miss the rest of this season. So, yeah, I mean, look, you know, Andy obviously suitably sympathetic to one of his own players.
Well, you know, it's such an utter waste of money. They didn't need him in the first place when they needed a striker.
Okay, well, Romeo, get well soon. That seems to be
the
message
from
seeing
Andy. Nice. You know, I was there.
Pop into Clinton's on my way.
I very much enjoyed the 4 minutes that he played. I thought he was tremendous.
What did you see in that 4 minutes to suggest
Yes, you know. Okay. A lot.
Okay. Why so sympathetic?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Have you had a Dan James moment? We asked you. We feel sorry for him, but I missed the only pen in a shootout in a cup final. Was the captain at the time. I had to buy a round of drinks for all of our squad in the bar afterwards.
Oh,
and if
dear.
Dan did that, that's Neil. That's Neil good. From Birmingham. They got a game
probably
on Friday.
Didn't,
I
would have thought.
I doubt he probably did. We've had, this comes from, where's it gone? Andy, that must have been one hell of a conversation you had with your wife, Sue. After decades of marriage, it was more interesting than extra time and penalties, says Jamie in Billericay.
Very good point.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Crouch, and that's over the line. That was over the line to me.
In and again, up goes Morientes. There's Crouch.
Crouch it is, who nods it in, right in front of 3,000 travelling Spurs fans who know that they're almost there, they're almost in.
Yeah, that's my favourite goal, one of my favourite Tottenham goals of the past 20, 30 years. Good afternoon, Peter.
Guys, all right?
Yeah, we're not too bad, thank you, not too bad. What did you end up with? Can you remember? What was it, 100 and what in the end?
I'm gonna say 108. I think, yeah, 108. I'm gonna say.
Yeah, it's a great achievement.
Absolutely. I mean, you're in when you look down the list of the players who've done it, you're in some great company, aren't you?
Yeah, that's. I mean, listen, I'll be honest with you. You know, starting out as a footballer, I would have taken any kind of level. You know, as long as I was playing professional football or football at some stage and enjoying it, kind of making a living out of it, would have been, you know, the as good as it got for me, and that's all I needed, all I wanted, really. So to kind of be in the 100 club, yeah, it does blow my mind. And it was definitely something that I really, really wanted to achieve. Like all my heroes growing up, kind of Les Ferdinand, Alan Shearer, Ian Wright, you know, players that were just, you know, scoring goals for fun. They to be kind of in amongst that illustrious list, it does feel great.
Mm. We were chatting to Benty about this the other day. I mean, he was making the point that it is a whole lot harder to score goals in the Premier League simply about because of the quality of players you come up against.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I do... there is sort of part of this is tainted, obviously, just because it feels like, you know, there were so many great goal scorers that didn't play in the Premier League, you know? And that's never kind of lost on me. There's so many top players that didn't make the Premier League. But listen, as soon as the Premier League started, it was obviously, you know, the best league in the world for me. And the defenders are, I mean, I genuinely found it easier to score goals in the Champions League and at international football than I did in the Premier League. And it does sound mad to say that, but I just felt like, you know, internationally and in Europe, I felt they always found it difficult to cope with me. Whereas in the Premier League, I think it was a little bit harder for me to score goals. So to kind of get in that list, it kind of meant more.
The fact you ask, that's interesting, the fact probably that you ask different questions of defenders as a player because of the way you're built and your height and everything.
Yeah, I always felt refs were a bit harsh on you, though, in those European games.
Yeah, you did seem to get, you know, certainly, yeah, in the European games and in England games, you're always being pulled up for free kicks, weren't you?
Yeah, there was loads of that. I remember, I think it might have been Graham Pohl who mentioned it in the 2006 World Cup. The referees actually had a meeting about me and showed kind of like how I gain leverage with my arms and how much I'm kind of like. So they were basically told to look out for me in the World Cup. And there was definitely, listen, you know, there was parts that I was pulled up very. I had to kind of adapt my game because in Europe, certainly an international level, you know, I couldn't be maybe as kind of as I couldn't use my arms as much for leverage as I could in the Premier League. So it was strange that there were kind of meetings about me. I mean, he even admitted that to me. So yeah, I had to play a kind of different game, but I certainly found that the defenders in Europe and internationally, I definitely found it easier.
You probably can do that in the Premier League now, the way that the rules are. You've been picked up all the, you're probably getting a few reds in there as well.
Yeah, I don't doubt that, to be honest. Listen, There were times, I mean, listen, in that 2006 World Cup where I mentioned, I actually pulled someone's dreadlocks and scored a goal,
that.
Which should have been ruled out, to be honest. So I was told by Kevin Jones that I wasn't really well liked in Trinidad because of that moment. But you know what? It's a World Cup goal and they can't take it away from me now.
That's one way to get leverage, isn't it?
It's since retiring, you've really forged an amazing podcast career, haven't you? You've got your own sort of football one, and then you've got Therapy Crouch, I should get that, with the one you do with your wife. And
yeah.
I've noticed the papers follow them avidly because if something's said in the podcast, it then becomes a story in the paper.
Yeah, I think certainly with that, with me and Ab, certainly, like I'll say things and I keep forgetting that we're not in our house and it's going out to a lot of people. And because we're just sitting on the couch and her brother's recording it, there are things that I probably would take back. But I think that's what makes it what it is.
Yeah, that's why people listen. So questions we've been asking everybody. Can you remember the first Premier League goal?
Yeah, first Premier League goal would have been, I remember it clear as day. It was Aston Villa and we played Newcastle. Gareth Barry swung it in from the left and it was a header. And I'll always remember because it was my first Premier League goal and it was probably Alan Shearer scored. I think it was 1-1 that day. Alan Shearer was up the other end. He scored and it must have been probably about his 200th. And I remember thinking to myself, God, if that's the level I need to get to. A million miles away from it at the moment.
Wow. And the 100th, I think, was that the one against Blackburn? I was just trying to do a bit of research on it.
No, 100th, it was Stoke versus Everton.
Okay.
And it was at the Bet365 Stadium. And I remember it because I never did the robot in the Premier League. Never. Not once.
Right.
I only ever did it for England. And people said to me, oh, you know, if you get 100 Premier League goals, can you bring it back? Can you bring it back? And so that was the... I remember going over to the side of the pitch and doing the robot, and it was a special moment.
Mm. Now, when you first went to Liverpool, you went 19 games, 4 months without a goal, didn't you?
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, well, but I mean, that's rare because obviously they're signing you to score. I mean, you know, you more than made up for it as time went on, but that must be difficult. I mean, I suppose it's just a matter of just believing and playing through. What sort of support did you get during that sort of period from the club?
Yeah, that was the hardest point of my professional career, no doubt. You know, like because I went from Southampton, to playing for one of the biggest clubs in the world, and no disrespect to Southampton, just things just went up a notch, and I was playing for England, and then, you know, you see it with Nunes, you know, with Haaland, you know, as soon as you move to these clubs, there's spotlights on you, and I just thought to myself, right, get a goal under your belt and get it out of the way, and it just didn't come, and it didn't come. And I remember missing a penalty. Bolo Zenden scored the rebound, and I just wanted to get him in a headlock rather than celebrate with him. And I don't know why. It was nothing against Bolo Zenden. I love him, but I was just so disappointed. I was like, you know, it's just not going in for me. But there is something special about playing for a club like Liverpool and going through something like that. You know, it's a city that I kind of, if you're in, you're in.
Yeah.
And it felt like all the critics were coming from outside Liverpool. And it was such a special kind of bond, really. And I think I've still got that today because of those reasons. We kind of came through that together. There's not many clubs that would have tolerated their striker not scoring for that long.
No.
Off the back of a Champions League win in Istanbul. That's when I signed. So, forever thankful for that.
And the other question we've been asking is, of centre-halves that you dreaded coming up against toughest opponents in the Premier League years?
My toughest opponents, I always remember getting schooled by Tony Adams in one of my first games. I was actually at QPR. It was a cup game. It wasn't in the Premier League, but I remember Tony Adams and would have been Steve Bould, maybe. I mean, that was a lesson in... I mean, I thought I was a Premier League player. I was sort of 18, but not, I was playing the Championship still, and I thought, yeah, I'm scoring goals at this level. I'll easily make the Premier League, no worries. Then I came up against Tony Adams. That view changed very quickly. What a defender he was. And I think over the years, Sol Campbell always gave me a big test because he's so physically strong. But John Terry was probably the best of the bunch, I think, yeah.
Right. Well, on to England now, and the big debate seems to be Watkins or Crouch. The perceived wisdom
no, not
is
Crouch.
Watkins or Crouch. Yeah, are you coming back, Pete? Are you coming back? Bring your boots, Watkins or Tony. So, what's your take on it? The feeling is it's only going to be one of them going.
My view doesn't just change because of one kind of international meetup. I think. You know, Tony's really made his case. And I think kind of as a like-for-like replacement, if that's what Gareth wants, you know, just slightly more similar to Kane, if you like. But I just think Ollie Watkins gives you something different. And I know that Tony was fantastic, you know, when he played, you know, the other night, obviously gets his goal as well. But Watkins, for me, just offers you something different. And I think, you know, that kind of pace late on, half an hour in, you know, does scare teams. But having said that, you know, penalty seems to have been our nemesis for however long we can remember. So, you know, there's no one better than Ivan Toney at penalties at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, he is a bit more like for Kane.
I just think he links the play better. He brings people into it. I'm a massive fan.
Making good runs last night, but you still feel Toney offers more, yeah? Watkins offers more.
Watkins, yeah. I only think, you know, I've watched him quite closely, and I think, listen, whoever you take, you know, if you can take both of them, that would be great, you know. But I think as a like-for-like replacement, yeah, I think Tony offers you a lot. But if you have to take one, I would take Watkins personally.
Getting forward last night, they did play some good stuff, didn't they? I mean, they were linking up pretty well. Kobbie Mayne, who played very well. So, I mean, defensively, it was a bit of a nightmare, but we didn't have our first choice back four. But going forward, they played some nice stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been where we are for a while, isn't it? I think, you know, defensively, you know, up against the very, very best, you do feel that we could come unstuck. But going forward, we're as good as anyone, if not the best. I think so much talent going forward, so many exciting players that we can't fit them all in. So, yeah, I think obviously defensively, I still think we're sound enough, you know, to have an opportunity to win it. But, going forward, we're electric.
Just final one on the weekend and the title race. I mean, City have been hit with a couple of pretty key injuries by the sound of it, and Walker and Stones.
I think it's looking very good for Arsenal.
Head of the Arsenal game. I don't know if Saka or Gabriel didn't play internationally this week, whether they're going to be right for the weekend.
What do you think?
Yeah. Guessing they might be. So, how are you seeing the weekend? And we'll put Liverpool into the mix as well. They lost Andy Robinson by the sound of it last night. So, how are you looking at the title race now, Peter?
Yeah, well, like you say, like the City Arsenal, if you know, playing each other, good, obviously an incredible game. I think, like I said, Liverpool at the start of the season, and I think, you know, plenty of people will say, you know, there's a bias there, and you'll probably be slightly right. But Arsenal have kind of played their way back into the conversation for me. I think Manchester City obviously would be favourites considering the recent history. You would say it was a two-horse race, but Arsenal just put themselves right back in the mix now. And I just think, like, the amount of games that they've played where they've won so convincingly, you know, if they get the injuries back, it's a definite three-horse race. But I'm gonna stick with Liverpool. I still think they can do it.
Okay, just one final one on your career: best Premier League goal you scored. I mean, I think there's a couple of spectacular standouts, but what is it in your eyes? It might not be one of those.
Yeah, but you know, I think that there's four probably that spring to mind. I think you played one of them, which was the, you know, not the most aesthetically pleasing of goals, but it meant so much. Was Tottenham against Manchester City, the kind of goal that got us into the Champions League, really. That was just special memory. I scored the third of the hat-trick goals I scored against Arsenal for Liverpool. There was a scissor kick I scored for Liverpool against Bolton on New Year's Day at Anfield. But I think the best goal I ever scored was the goal from when I was at Stoke against Manchester City, where I volleyed it into the corner. Lost out on the goal of the season to Papis Cisse, who hit a banana shot against Chelsea.
Yeah, I remember.
Like an unbelievable volley in the top right-hand corner. From like near the touchline. Unbelievable goal, but I still vow that mine was better. Not bitter at all.
No, of course not.
Well, Peter, good to talk to you. Thanks very much for joining us.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All the best. Take care. That's former England, Tottenham, Liverpool, Stoke, you name it. Played for a few other clubs, Villa. Portsmouth. Striker Peter Crouch.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Indeed, Paul Dan James. Maisie Adams joined us in the studio. We're going to have a chat about soccer. She's a Leeds fan. Maisie, lovely to see you, as always.
Lovely to see you. Thank you for having me back.
You're looking resplendent in the official
Soccer Age shirt. It's a nice kit, isn't it? I'm very happy with this. Love a bit of hot pink on a kit. Yeah. Love it.
So there it is, England versus Soccer Aid World 11.
Soccer Aid World 11, that's what I'm on yet again. I'm on the World 11, playing on the 9th of June at Stamford Bridge, which this is my second year with Soccer Aid. Yeah. The first one was last year. And I played the day after my wedding.
Well, I remember the build-up, because you played in it. You came on with me and Charlie.
I think we can all safely say, in retrospect, an error.
Yes.
An error. A diary nightmare.
Not the first player to play hungover, I wouldn't think, on a Sunday. But you played in a charity game about a couple of weeks before. Oh, and Charlie put in a terrible two-foot tackle on me.
Two-footed Baker, yeah. Two-footed I played Baker. A game, right, and this charity game with a load of comedians. And Baker went in, and he brought this up on Friday when I saw him on the last leg. He went in, two-footed tackle on me. I swear I flew. I flipped in the air, landed. And the first thing I thought, if Charlie Baker's just broken my legs ahead of Soccer Aid and my wedding, I don't know why I think of it in that order, but that's the order I thought of it. I was like, if I don't get to play in the World 11 because of Charlie Baker's two-footed tackle, I'll be so angry. But no, I managed to play. Day after my wedding, it went well, we won, and now I'm coming back for year two. World 11, we're going again.
You played well, but you admitted you were sweating up a bit, slightly the worst for wear.
I just didn't expect to start.
Yeah.
You know, like how Soccer Aid, they often start with the former pros, and then they'll go into the celeb territory. And I like to play up front, so I thought, I'll be against Paddy McGuinness in goal. And instead, I started up front with Roberto Carlos, and Usain Bolt. I remember Pochettino sitting me down and going, when he named the starting squad, and he went, Usain's going to play on the left, so if you can play on the right, and when he runs down, you join the run.
Join the run!
With Usain Bolt, famously fastest man on the planet. Yes. I mean, that's a difficult task to anybody on any day, let alone the day after your wedding.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, this year, you're going to get elite athlete, Maisie.
Good. You're going to put some training in.
100%.
Early night on this Saturday. Yeah.
Absolutely. All of that. Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
It is a great event, isn't it? It's fun, but it raises a lot of money.
It's so good. I mean, last year, I remember them telling us the amount we'd raised, and it was just over £14 million. Just let that sink in for a minute. £14 million. I was like, £14,000, something like, £140,000. Yeah. I did. I just thought, £14 million. That's absolutely insane. And it took us to over the 90 mil mark, which means that if we're looking to top 40 mil this year, and if we do, we go over £100 million that Soccer Aid will have raised for UNICEF. And that does so much for so many people around the world. And as you said, it's fantastic, because I think people can get sometimes immune to these charity, you know, fundraising things. And we get quite disconnected with what it actually does. But all you have to do is watch the beautiful game played by elite athletes such as myself donate in the break, and you make a world of difference.
It's great to watch the old pros, though. Even if they can't move, they're still brilliant.
They've still got it there, haven't they?
Yeah.
They've still got it. Robbie Keane's two goals last year were absolute. I mean, even Scholesy, I know he limped off, but when we were watching him, we were all going, you don't lose it, do you?
No.
You don't lose it. Roberto Carlos was still wonderful to watch. He was only on for a bit, but it was beautiful. Crespo, Totti, all of them last year.
Must be pinching yourself,
yeah.
Must.
And you know we've got this year on the World 11, you know we've got Eden Hazard. Ever heard of him?
Yeah.
Oh,
ever
really?
Heard of him?
At Chelsea.
Yeah. Expect big things.
I think that's
going to
be great.
Bridge.
I was watching, I know he's a completely different sort of player playing a different position, but there is shades of Kobbie Mainoo about him. That low centre of gravity. When they get on a run, they're really hard to stop.
Yeah.
That was the thing with Hazard, wasn't it? It's just, when they get going, they get head of steam up.
The engine.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Most foul player. It cost him in the end by the time he got to Real Madrid.
Most foul player? Yeah. What, was he playing against Charlie Baker?
Yeah. I think he goes out and fouls people just before their wedding. Yeah. He finds out he's getting married in a fortnight.
He's looking up the announcements and in takes the local paper.
He's quite for a man who's married for a long time, he's quite anti-marriage, Charlie. Stuart Broad's going to play. Good feet for a big man, potentially. We spoke to Peter Crouch earlier, or maybe he's the new Peter Crouch.
exciting, isn't it? Yeah, there's loads of new names. Stuart Broad on ours. We've got
Sam Thompson's playing as well, isn't he?
Sam Thompson,
made in Chelsea.
He's going to be in the England squad.
That's one of the other things about it, isn't it? Seeing the celebs not knowing what they're going to be like as footballers.
Yes,
until,
no
until
idea.
They get out there,
no
yeah.
idea. I'm excited to see. And that's why it's exciting as well, because you see who. You have no idea what people's footballing background is, and then these ones come out and you realise, oh right, they had a call up, did they, when they were 13, 14? Oh right, they could have gone pro. And then there's some that you go, yeah, no chance, you were never gonna. I think I'm in the latter category. But no, it's really exciting. Erin Doherty, if you've watched The Crown, the girl that plays Princess Anne, she's joining Soccer Aid this time.
Tommy Fury
really
was one of those that you saw had not played a lot of football. He is back though, isn't he?
Yeah, and you know what? He's getting little one-on-ones with Jill Scott. That's
That's
a little exclusive, yeah.
So Kem Setanay is a good player.
Yeah,
he's
good,
isn't
yeah.
he? Kem Setanay was really good. We had him on the World 11 last year. Well, do you remember that Noah Beck? Potch was trying to sign him up at the end.
Oh, was he?
So.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, that's all we're doing this for, is to try and get a trial in.
Are you still playing? You were playing for a women's team.
I was hoping this would come up. Yep. We got the assist. I got the assist on Sunday.
Oh, good.
I play for Brighton Seagulls. We're currently second. Thank you so much for
bringing
that
up.
I was thinking of how I could shoehorn it in. I love playing. It's highlight of my week. I love it. It's a good time. My team's doing well. Soccer Aid's on the horizon. Yeah. Leeds are going up.
Slight fly in the ointment. I'm just wondering, I mean, they've got a big game against Watford, looking to get automatic promotion, and what, four of those players who played for Wales last night, including Dan James, got to come back, pick themselves
up and
go again.
Yeah, I said, because I love that Conor Roberts who we've signed. He's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. But I felt for Dan James last night. And listening to Fletch read the news then of all these... I'd hate to be a manager, wouldn't you? Like, the moment Robert Page's done so much for Wales, and then they miss out on Euros from one spot kick. Like, and they did well as well, Wales, in that game against Poland last night, and now people are calling for his job. I really feel for Dan James. He's a fantastic player. He's really come into his own at Leeds, and hopefully Watford will be a nice little pick-me-up for him.
Leeds impressed me against Chelsea in the Cup. I thought they were very unlucky to lose, and they played some lovely football.
I rate Daniel Farke so much. I absolutely love him. I didn't think... there was a time after Bielsa where Leeds felt really lost, and I wasn't sure we were going to get that great leadership back. But what Farke has done, I mean, at the moment, his record is better than Bielsa's for the run of games that we've had. Absolutely love him. Absolutely
he's
love
got.
Him.
I mean, he obviously has got. He's done it before. He's got a team out of that league before. I mean, that run since the new year was
it's
like sort of making up 17 points.
Absolutely insane. Loving watching Leeds at the moment. I'm going up for the last game of the season, which is against Saints. So that'll be a spicy one, because it could. Yeah. You never know. It could be down to us or them.
Mm. You're touring as well later in the year, aren't you?
Oh yeah. I am, busy girl. Once I've retired from my brief professional football career, I'm back out on tour, starting in September, and that runs through to November. Going all over.
And go and check it out, MaisieAdam.com. All the dates are on there, and you can link through to tickets as you can by going to soccerade.org.uk, and there is a link to buy tickets. I see the cheapest tickets have actually gone. The Category 4 adults, and concessions have sold out, but there's still plenty of Category 3s and others.
The prawn
as well.
Sandwich area.
No, there is a prawn sandwich.
There is a prawn sandwich
category
area.
Category 1, yeah.
It's so good that, though, for Soccer Aid as well, is the pricing. It's you know, as a football fan, I get really frustrated sometimes with the price of season tickets and whatnot. But Soccer Aid, a family of four can go for £60. It's absolutely brilliant. So do get involved. I mean, the atmosphere.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd enjoy going to Old Trafford, but last year the atmosphere was unreal. This year we're at Stamford Bridge. Do come down. You will not regret it. It is a day like no other.
So it's Sunday the 9th of June. It's kick-off 7:30. You can get there from 5:30. But go and get your tickets. Go and check it out. Soccer Aid. .org.uk, or you can go through to the See Tickets page for Soccer Aid and get your tickets straight away.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Time to talk Scotland then. Disappointing result for them last night, losing to Northern Ireland at home. Losing just a blip. Losing Andy Robinson. Well, you know, you could argue that, but you look at the recent run of results. No wins in 7, 5 defeats, 2 draws. It was all going so well after. You could have given them a bit of a hangover from qualification in those initial matches. But I think there is some concern. Let's find out if there's concern within the Tartan Army, especially for those who've already booked the hotels and flights to go to Germany. Ali Ross from the Sun, Tartan Army foot soldier, joins us now. Good afternoon, Ali.
Can confirm there is concern.
Yeah.
a great deal of concern.
When you're sitting having a pint with your fellow Tartan Army followers, I mean, what are you making of what's going on at the moment?
Put it this way, he's managed expectations for the summer very well indeed. I have booked a return flight on June the 24th.
Right, okay.
Is that the end of the qualification?
And no one has said, but what if?
Yeah.
It hasn't come to that. So I'm heading back on June, I think it's Monday, June the 24th.
I mean, and
there just three teams qualify from each group though, don't they? I mean, you know, it'd be pretty terrible not to qualify.
That allows for one whipping boy, doesn't it?
I mean, look, there's been, as we said, in the immediate aftermath of qualifying, there was a couple of games and so you cut them some slack there. But, and you know, they lost to France, who are a good team. They lost to the Dutch, who are a good team. But last night, especially in light of what Andy Robinson said the other day about this can't go on.
No.
To go out. I mean, they had chances and they were putting some big blocks.
They looked like 11 strangers who'd never played together. But it was feeble. It was a dreadful performance.
Yeah.
And they're charging top whack for that. And should be thoroughly ashamed.
Yeah, there were boos at half time and booed at the end.
Didn't create anything of note either.
No, there wasn't. There was a couple of. Shankland had a shot that was blocked, but there was. I looked at the highlights, there wasn't a lot.
No,
really,
and if you're not getting away with that against a team like Northern Ireland, who are quite agricultural, then a team like Germany, who seem to be coming into form at exactly the wrong time for us, will take 4 or 5 goals off you without breaking sweat.
I mean, there's two hopefully morale-boosting games before you jet off to Spain. Gibraltar.
Yeah, it'll be bad if you lose that one.
Can't lose to Gibraltar.
If that happens, then the Maldives are a real...
Yeah, that's right, you can cancel those flights. And then the Finland, who obviously Wales have just put to the sword. So, again, you would think that they would get you in the right frame of mind. But it is worrying when, because you've got a lot of good players.
We've got a good midfield and we've got a couple of great left-backs. Up front, we don't have much at all. And in the centre of defence, we've got a lot of honest players, but none of them would trouble the top four of the Premier League.
So you've got Shankland, you've got Shea Adams, and you've got...
Relying on McTominay for goals, really.
Yeah. Yeah, to a very heavy extent. So it's going to be very tough, and I think they know it is. They've done amazingly well to get through that group. And we took 15 points from 15 at the start of it, which pretty much saw us over the line. And there's still an element of euphoria there. The fact we're going at all.
Yeah.
I worked out, by the way, how much money I've saved by Scotland being mints for the last 20 years. And it would have put off my retirement by a few years. Right.
But it'll be fun. It's better.
I mean, look,
fun.
Really, it's with respect, you're probably not going there thinking you're gonna win it.
No, well, I gather England have won it anyway. So
well, they have. Well, so that saves you all the
Charlie,
worry.
Charlie Wyatt confirmed it in the Sun last week. Yeah. So, like, Charlie's word is gospel.
But it does seem strange, isn't it, that you go?
It's just such a great country to go to, Germany, and we've booked all sorts of trips down the Rhine and Cologne Zoo on the Wednesday, I think.
Wow.
So it's going to be fantastic.
The idea of the Tottenham Army descending on Cologne Zoo.
Yeah, they feed the aardvarks at 3:30, I gather. Oh, really? So book your tickets now. I've never been to Cologne before. Everyone raves about it, says it's a great city. So we're there for the best part of a week.
And I've never seen an aardvark being fed.
No.
Andy, now is the time. You do the show live from Cologne Zoo.
How are they fed? I take it for a gap in the fence, aren't they? I would imagine it's...
Well, first find your ants, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's right, yeah.
I was thinking, what are they eat? Of course.
The old joke goes, aardvark never hurt anybody. Really. Spike Milligan, circa 1972.
Absolutely.
So look, yeah, we're okay. Well, you don't necessarily go in confidence,
no,
but
it's a tough group as well. Yeah,
it is.
What's the game they have to win to finish third?
Germany. No, I'm only joking.
We play Germany, then Switzerland in Cologne, and then Hungary in Stuttgart.
That's the one, isn't it?
Mm.
Did you play Hungary?
We played them in a friendly not so long ago, and we won 1-0 over in Budapest.
Okay.
But I think they've come on leaps and bounds since then.
Has Gilmore gone off the boil a bit, or has he not?
He had a cracking first 60 minutes against Holland, and then Clark hooked him for some reason, and at which point the team collapsed. He's been having a decent season for a fabulous player.
Yeah.
And when we played France in Lille, which I was at, there were only two players that looked comfortable against the French, and that was Gilmore and McTominay.
Okay.
The rest of them were chasing shadows. I think if we have a linchpin, it will be him come June.
Hmm.
And he's having a pretty good season at Brighton as well.
And let's hope Robinson's not too bad.
That would just put the tin lid on it if Andy Robinson...
Because there are a few problems sort of right-hand side of defence, aren't there?
Aaron Hickey is a long-term injury at Brentford, and without him, well, that's where the goal came from last night.
So that thing of switching Tierney again, which you don't particularly want to do?
No, absolutely not. But we are short of options there, so Hickey has to get well. And everyone is praying that Andy Robertson doesn't miss out, because he's been such a... great servant of the team over the years. If anyone deserves to go to that tournament, it's him.
Yeah, let's hope it's not too bad.
He's never short of 8 out of 10 whenever he's had a Scotland jersey on.
And I take it they're announcing the squad around the same time England do, sort of May the 20th, May the 21st around that time.
I would imagine so,
What did you make of the Warnock era?
Aberdeen, Ali's an Aberdeen fan. Short-lived Warnock years.
I'm so glad I came on this show and said it would be a raging success. I think we firmly established I know nothing about football just from that one interview.
Yeah,
I thought it would be a laugh.
Yeah,
and it wasn't. And really, I don't know what
he
happened.
Didn't make it. There was no discernible difference, was there? It wasn't.
It got worse.
Oh, okay.
It's got much worse.
That's not ideal, really.
He didn't win a league game.
He normally goes in and gets it all organised and has an immediate...
He did all right in the cup, though,
the
didn't
Warnock
he?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're through to a cup semi-final at the weekend against the Celts.
Oh.
Having said that, it was all shrouded in a bit of mystery as well. He just suddenly announced he was off as well.
Yeah, it was weird.
I don't think he liked the commute from Redruth or
wherever. It was a long commute.
I mean, as we said at the time, we looked it up, there was quite a lot of flights from his part of the world up to Aberdeen. I was surprised how many different ways you could get up to Aberdeen from the West Country where he lived.
Yeah, needs much.
Before we let you go, Ali, I'll take you the for the column, you're watching lots and lots of good and quite bad telly.
Uh-huh.
What's the good and the bad you've been
watching? Good this week was a documentary called Ukraine, Enemy in the Woods.
Yeah,
which
I've heard it was harrowing but brilliant, apparently.
If you watch it, you'll never forget it. It spares you no detail at all. The bad, And I'm sorry Charlie isn't here. It's the last leg this week.
Oh, okay.
And the 180-degree turn it did on Kate Middleton. So I think that's...
Well, they're not alone.
No, they are
certainly
not.
A lot of people doing this. Stephen Colbert did over in the States as well.
Television's about face on that one, I think, is where I'm heading this week.
Good stuff.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
In the meantime, Andy, anything you want to discuss?
Well, I've been watching Masterminders. It seems to be going on forever, this series.
Oh, okay.
Which is good for me, because I've got another series of Clive's wonderful intros.
You do love this. Is your little weekly roundup of Clive Myrie, Manchester City supporting presenter of Mastermind, Clive Myrie's intros that he does to the specialist subjects that you still feel are a touch
long,
too long.
And often you know who the person
superfluous,
is.
Superfluous. All right, then. Let's have it. Here we go.
Okay, the first one with the first specialist subject was Peter Cushing. Yes, the suave and sophisticated British actor who lent a sinister edge to the Hammer horror and Star Wars films.
Yes.
Not the PC electrical installer Peter Cushing from Newcastle.
I don't know if I'd want to go. With respect to Peter from Newcastle, you'd be a bit worried about going to him. It could be a bit sinister if he came round. But, I mean, you know, a lot of people would know who Peter Cushing was. He was, just because you do, because you're 103, doesn't mean everybody will. Does he, really?
No. All right, how about this one?
Yeah.
The history of percussion instruments.
Ah, okay. Well, I know what a percussion instrument is.
Yes, drums and percussion instruments from around the world. So not saxophones then, Clive. Brilliant, isn't it?
Yes.
Honestly, the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Oh, I haven't got a clue. I need help with that.
Yeah, I did a little bit too. The spin-off series from Doctor Who, first broadcast from 2007 to 2011, which follows the exploits of the titular investigative journalist. Yes. So not the adventures of Sky News presenter Sarah Jane Mee.
Well, that's what Neil Warnock would say. I love Sarah Jane
Mee.
Yeah.
And finally,
yes,
Sir Bobby Robson.
Oh, now I don't need any help.
You don't really do. Yes, the football manager and football player and manager who took it the England. I'll get there.
Yeah, blimey! I hope he read it better than that. Maybe you need an auto cue as
it's
well.
It's my writing.
Yeah.
Yes, the football player and manager who took the England men's team to the semi-finals of the World Cup in 1990. And not Bobby Robson Plumbing from Colchester.
No.
Who do exist.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for that, Andy. I think some of those, one of those, for the first time needed help with, was it the Sarah Jane?
Yes, Sarah Jane fair, mysteries. That's true, yeah.
This is a good job. It's almost like Death in Paradise for football. Charlie Wyatt was writing about it in his column today, saying, do you fancy working in a coaching role for a national association? The Maldives FA.
Really?
They're advertising. 13.
I'll do me badges.
Yeah, do your badges. 13 different roles. That's right. Technical coordinator.
Producer says Birch fans. He's probably got it. Let's be honest.
I think he almost has. Yeah, he was head of the Bahamas FA or something, wasn't he? Torremolinos FA. But yeah, so they're looking for men's and youth keeper coaches. What about that?
I could do that.
Head of women's football, under 20s physio. Nice. They're 161 in the world, but as Charlie says, not a bad place to live.
No.
So if you fancy going to work out in the Maldives, go
There'll
and
be
check
no
it
shortage
out.
Of takers for that.
I wouldn't think so.
I don't know what the money is.
Lifestyle would feature. I mean, I doubt you're going to earn a fortune, but what a life experience.
Yeah,
so
great.
There we are. If you fancy a bit of Maldives football, go and check it out.
I do.
Well, okay, you're not going to get any of these jobs, are you?
I've worked out that the Beckhams are very, very clever. They've always been very clever, but they've got... They basically... In the old days, they used to employ a PR company, probably, and they'd sort of make sure that they appeared in the papers from now to now. But they don't need to do that now. All they do is Victoria just basically does something on Instagram, and every paper picks it up, uses the photos and everything. Who needs a PR company?
Well, exactly. It must have been banned. Social media has made
David
done for
bought
the
her a
PR.
Thing for a leg.
Yeah, it's a scooter that she can ride around on with her. She's broken her leg, is she? Or
foot. She broke her foot in a gym accident.
Oh, okay, right.
And there you go.
Good. Tremendous.
I thought so.
Do you want a bit of planning news?
Oh, I love this. Yeah,
we've got planning news. This is often many of the newspapers turn to planning applications to look for sports people's planning news. And he's probably got a bit more on his mind at the moment. We turn to F1 boss Christian Horner. What about that? In dispute, say the Telegraph, with villagers over Loud Paul. That's not a bloke called Loud Paul. This is P-O-O-L. Christian Horner and Jerry Halliwell's plans to build a swimming pool at their country retreat have been branded disrespectful by neighbours who fear it will ruin their village. It's a swimming pool, isn't it? About that.
Well, they said it wouldn't be visible from the grounds of an adjacent churchyard.
They live in Marston St Lawrence.
beautiful part of the world. Never been.
No.
One resident warned that the proposed pool would be directly opposite an Anglo-Saxon church. That's the worry. Many local families attend the church, and of course the rector conducts weddings, baptisms and funerals. And they don't want Jerry and Christian doing top bombing inside of someone's final journey.
It would be the height of disrespect to be standing in the churchyard during an interment and to be distracted by screaming, shouting and splashing from a short distance away.
Yeah. That was that great story I was told years ago. Mm. We were told by Graham Lasso, because where Blackburn used to... I've mentioned it before. Blackburn used to train quite near a church, and he was telling us a tale once. They were all training, and occasionally, he said, there'd be a funeral going on, and it'd all be, you know, very sad, everybody walking along, and the sort of coffin being taken into the church, and then suddenly one of the pallbearers would go, "It's Alan Shearer. Alan! Start doing stuff like that.
It's not ideal.
During a funeral.
It's not ideal, really.
Anyway, Tim Vickery's going to join us shortly, our South America. That was planning news. We should wrap this up, of course. Planning news.
Planning news.
We'll keep you in touch with that. It hasn't quite got the traction that Kevin Keegan's extension had all those years ago. But that, I mean, that was amazing. That was an odyssey every week. And I think he did get his extension done in
very
the end.
Pleased for him.
So that's good news. Tim Vickery's going to join us, South American correspondent. Lots of ground to cover with Tim today. Some transfer stories. We've got a couple coming in. Manchester United fan Matt is very interested in a player that they've been linked to. We met up with the vice president of River this week.
Yeah.
They've got a young 16-year-old, could be heading to Real Madrid. And of course, we've seen Brazil in action at the weekend against England. Endrick was on.
Yeah, another goal last night.
Yeah, another goal for him last night. They're wonder kid. And talking to wonder kids, Chelsea-bound Ecuadorian in a strip club in New York with some of his older teammates. What about that?
Oh, there you go.
Bringing the old swagger of the King's Road back to Chelsea.
Absolutely.
Is he?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Just very quickly, we've had some England stuff, interestingly, coming up from some of the listeners, so we'll be doing that. Went to watch a work colleague grandson play under-11 football at the local club. People at the ground were still taking the mick out of him for missing a penalty in a cup final 45 years ago. His grandson missed a penalty in the game. That's everyone ridiculous. Said, "Ah, look, just like his granddad," says Ranger Ian. This was your Dan James moments. Have you missed a pen on a Sunday morning or a Saturday afternoon? There's quite a lot of people that have never forgiven and forgotten as quick as Wales did yesterday.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon show. We're back tomorrow. I'll have clips of the week for you. A little bit of Friday on a Thursday, as we didn't do them last week because of the TalkSport trophy. That and a whole lot more besides. Do hope Emil Heskey joining us as well for a bit of a chat. So join us from one tomorrow. If not, podcasts available at 4.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.